Luke chapter 1, 5 to 7. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years.
Well, you know, spring chicken. That's the first thing my neighbor said to me when I told her I was pregnant. Can you believe that? Maybe she just didn't believe me, but I don't hold it against her. She'd been a tad bit cranky ever since she found that scorpion in her girdle drawer. Maybe she just didn't realize what a miracle this was for me. I mean, Zechariah and I had been trying to have a child of our own our whole lives. By the time most of my hair had turned gray and Zechariah's had turned loose, we had given up hope. But nothing is impossible for God. He seems to delight in making life out of barren places. And as if that wasn't enough, the angel who brought us this unbelievable news had even more to say. This child, our son, would be used by God to prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. This was all too much of a gift to be real. And then I thought, well, how am I going to train this child for a job like that? But God had those details covered too. And it keeps getting better. When I was about 6 months along, my cousin Mary came for a visit. And no sooner had she said hello than this unborn son jumped and flipped inside of me. Right then, God just opened my eyes so that I could clearly see that this young girl standing in my home was also with child, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Months later, we got the news from Bethlehem. And I looked over at Zechariah holding our very own miracle baby. I had one of those God moments. You know, when you just realize, you say, God just had different plans. He had brought us life in barren places. He hadn't forgotten about us, and he would never leave us alone again.
For some, it's hard to believe what really happened at Christmas, isn't it? I mean, you might have neighbors a little like Elizabeth. You might, in fact, be the neighbor to Elizabeth, finding it a little bit hard to believe the news that she shared or the news that we hear at Christmas. Which is why it's so good for us to look and listen again. Because the first Christmas was a miracle. And it was a miracle not just for Elizabeth and Zechariah, but it was a miracle for all people. I mean, I don't know about you, do we realize just the miracle that Christmas is? When we look and listen closely, we actually realize maybe we remember and hear and see the God who is behind it all, and it's actually not that hard to believe in the end, is it? Both of them, Elizabeth and Zechariah, were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. They'd been trying to have a child for their entire lives, it would seem. Maybe close to giving up hope at this point. Hairs are grey, grey, grey. But did you hear her? Nothing is impossible for this God. And that is uttered actually later on by an angel who's speaking to a relative of hers. And as Elizabeth said, it seems that our God delights in making life out of barren places, because this is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, who is also the same God of, think about it, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Hannah. The God who brings life to barren places, who remembers those who have been forgotten or forsaken. Even just this morning when I was walking in, chatting to a couple of people, chatting about Christmas, many feel forgotten, helpless, and broken at Christmas, don't they? Maybe you do. Because Christmas can be this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time, joy-filled, amazing, but it can also be horrible, can't it? When forgottenness and forsakenness, maybe lifelessness, starts to grip that little bit more. And I'm not talking about not receiving that gift you really, really wanted, missing out on the Dyson at Aldi, no. You'll hear a bit about that today. And I don't know what it is for you or how you feel right now, but the questions at this time of year about the year that's been, about the year that is to come, the family and friends that we've either lost, or the tensions that will happen around the table, or the people that won't even be there, or the people that will be there that you don't want there. And maybe Christmas helps us forget for just that little bit of moment as we crack that cracker and the jokes are terrible, that everything's, well, it's not really okay, is it? I still feel that emptiness, that forgottenness, that forsakenness. But you see, Christmas is about much, much more than this. It is a miracle. And it is a miracle for all people. Because as Elizabeth told us, her miracle child would prepare for the miracle child. We might feel forgotten or forsaken, that God hasn't forgotten or forsaken us. Maybe we feel that too. But he hasn't. And he won't leave us. Because Elizabeth's miracle child would prepare for the miracle child. Prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. The child is coming. The one who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God coming to be with us in one of the strangest of ways, really. But this is the one. He's coming, the one who will take care of the impossible problem, the desperate need that each and every single person in all of humanity has ever had, the need for a Redeemer, which is a miracle. You see, our God hasn't forgotten or forsaken us, and Christmas says that. Just how, though? Lynn's going to read some more, and we have to keep looking and listening at this story to see.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
As long as I can remember, we'd been waiting for the Messiah to come for us. My family, our tribe, our whole nation. I always knew that he'd come, but... well, let's be honest, it's not like I'm from Jerusalem or someplace special. I'm just a girl. From Nazareth. And everybody knows that not much good comes from Nazareth, never has. I thought for sure that angel had come to the wrong house with his announcement. But if that's what God wanted, well, who was I to tell him he was wrong? And Joseph, well, God bless that wonderful man. He could have joined in with everybody else. He could have had me sent away. He could have even had me killed. But he just never broke the promise to marry me. And so when he had to go to Bethlehem for the census, I was honored to ride by his side. even with heartburn and bloated cankles, and 9 months of pregnancy behind me. You know those women who try different things to induce labor, like going on frequent walks or eating spicy foods? What they should do is go on a bumpy 70-mile trip to Bethlehem. Because not long after I got there, and I'd never done this myself, but even I knew it was time. And with every wave of pain, I tried to ignore the fact that my family wouldn't be there to help me, and that I'd be bringing this baby into the world without the familiarity of home. But when Jesus finally came, I forgot all of that, though. I just wrapped him in cloths and tried to make the most comfortable bed I could for him with the only thing I had, which was an animal's feeding trough. Joseph said I should have been sleeping then, but I couldn't stop staring at him. There he was. The one the angel had told me about. My heart was so full, I couldn't even find words big enough to express it. I know I'm not the first young mother to bring a child into this world. It's always been that way. But as I look down at my son, my Redeemer, I knew that he would change everything because he'd already changed me.
Every time, I even prepared myself this time, every time I've heard her say, my Redeemer, it gets me. It gives me that little chill every time, even when I was prepping. And I've watched these videos a few times, just so you know, quite a few times. You know why? Because that's the marvel of Christmas. What we all, maybe unknowingly, maybe you're sitting here unknowing that that's the marvel of Christmas. That's what we've been waiting for. You see, Mary was waiting, wasn't she? And not just Mary, she said, as long as she could remember. Her family, her tribe, her whole nation was waiting for the Messiah to come. The Messiah, the Redeemer, the one who would win back his people. They've been waiting. I wonder what you've been waiting for. What things you've been waiting for this Christmas or expecting? What things have you been waiting for so long that you've now despair? Vic's been waiting for something for a long time. It was probably about 2 years ago that she first mentioned a Dyson stick vac. Now, if you hear her talk about this thing, it's going to make everything better. I think we probably should name it the Dyson Redeemer, because it is this thing that seems to make the world a different place. Now, for those who don't know, and I had written this without knowing that I was going to be standing at Aldi at 8 a.m. waiting for it to open at 8:30 yesterday, because Aldi was selling Dyson stick vacs. Cheaper. So you go there and you line up. And I was there at 8 o'clock, and there was a huge line in front of me, and then there was a huge line that went way back. Now, just so you're aware, I have to speak with some sensitivity, because there were some people in this building who were in that line who missed out. And I didn't. But I waited. You see, Vic had been waiting for 2 years, and I sort of dismissed it until this point. But I waited for half an hour in that line. And I'll tell you what, if you want to see an interesting human experiment, go wait at something like that and then just watch. I'd promised myself that I was just going to walk calmly, because there was people who there was people who were rushing because they'd been waiting for this thing not that long. The brochure only came out 2 weeks ago, but they'd been waiting, rushing up to get in with trolleys jamming. And there was one family that were up there on the pallets like, we've got them! We've got him! And I promised myself I was just going to walk. This is how I normally walk. I walked, but it was more like this. promised myself I wouldn't run and I didn't. We got the Dyson, I'm going to move on. Because we were waiting and Vic had been waiting and she longed for this thing. When we wait for something, there's something inside us that when it comes, when it happens, it's glorious. But the wait's not fun. And yet here, Mary, more than the child, her Redeemer had come. And it wasn't easy. I don't know whether you realise this. Mary mentioned at the very beginning that she was just a girl. Like, nativity scenes don't quite capture what this would have been like. Mary being pregnant, not married. I mean, the cultural questions that would have arisen, the fact that Joseph could have, yes, divorced her, had her killed. And Joseph, he was a good bloke. It did take an angel, but he was going to do it quietly. He was a faithful, faithful man. And yes, there was the heartburn, the bloated ankles, the 9 months of pregnancy, and I'm not quite sure about the whole labour-inducing techniques. In March, Vic and I will not be getting a donkey, just in case things aren't moving along. But yes, a bumpy 7-mile trip to Bethlehem. This was no, well, it was an ordinary pregnancy, but it wasn't, was it? And that's not because the night Jesus was born, it was all silent. No, I guarantee it wasn't a silent night, and no, it would not have all been calm. But it wouldn't surprise me if when she looked at this child, she did look at this child like no other mother has or would or could. For when Jesus finally came, I could imagine she couldn't stop staring. Because there he was, the one. Yes, her child, but the one Scripture had promised would come, the one that the angel had told them about. Do you know why it gets me every time she says, my Redeemer? This is her Redeemer. This is our Redeemer. Because the angel had told this family, you were to give birth to a son and you were to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he would save his people from their sins. Now, this isn't the first Christmas. No, we're looking back at the first Christmas. But those who have seen Jesus, who have actually met the Redeemer, know what it means that he is the one who has changed everything, don't we? Like Mary said when she first looked down on that first Christmas. The wait is over. And in the most unimaginable of ways, the Redeemer has come, and it wasn't the wrong house when the angel went to Mary, and it wasn't the wrong time. No, it was all perfectly planned and purposed. Emmanuel, God with us, which means he has changed everything. So what are we waiting for? I found it really interesting when I was looking at the idea of redeemed. Do you know how you get gift vouchers at Christmas? Did you know gift vouchers must be one of the best things companies ever invented? Because every year, well, in 2016... $70 million of unused gift vouchers were either in part or in full were purchased and they're not used. $70 million of this stuff. When you're given a gift voucher, what is it? You're given this thing and then you can go and you can redeem it, can't you? It's been bought for you. It's paid for. All you've got to do is claim that. You've been redeemed in a way, haven't you? But all of this stuff is unused. And I wonder if that's similar at Christmas. We come to Christmas, the Redeemer has come, the greatest gift we could ever imagine, and all we've got to do is claim this miracle. Because the problem of sin and separation was paid for by the Redeemer, the one who ransomed. That impossible problem of separation between God and man has been done away with. That problem, that feeling that leaves so many thinking they are forgotten and forsaken is no more. And so we can sing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. He has ransomed captive Israel. The wait is over, not just for Mary, not just for the tribe of Israel, but for every single person in the world, because the Redeemer has come. And so when we sing Israel, I don't know what we're going to sing, if you're wondering. When we sing, has ransomed captive Israel, we are included in that. So yes, rejoice, rejoice. Because we too can sing as Israel would.
God had been silent for 400 years. We knew because we were listening, in a sense. My job is to listen. You wouldn't call a person that talks a lot a wise man, would you? No, you'd call them many, many, many things, but a wise man wouldn't be one of them. My position is to look for signs. Everywhere. A star, for example. I can look at a star and watch it and wait and see what the star is trying to tell us. I read one time of a star that would announce a new king. And then one day, there it was. A beacon in the night. A star like, unlike any other star I'd ever seen before. And so, I followed it. Several of us, we followed this star. It was bizarre. The star would lead, it would move, and we would follow. Our journey took 2 years, and it led us to Judea. And then the star stopped. It just stopped, shining down over this small cottage. Our journey ended not at a palace for a king, but at a home for a peasant. This was it. I mean, we gathered our thoughts, we gathered our gifts, we did all that we could do to contain our emotion. And behind those doors was a new king. A king that could command the stars in the sky and yet chose to dwell among us. A king that spoke and the word became flesh. God was finished being silent. That night, we knelt. We bowed down before this baby boy, and each one of us laid gifts at his feet. We had to, we couldn't help it. 400 years of silence, broken by the cries of the Son of God.
Thought I might let that silence linger just a little longer. And even me, I started to get concerned. Somebody might play the next video thinking maybe Brett's forgotten. Because we don't really like silence, do we? It's uncomfortable. We don't know what's going on. I wonder, what's the longest time you've been silent for? Not spoken, not made a noise, just sat maybe. Personally, I like to believe that I like silence. My house is not usually a house of silence. A three-year-old, a five-year-old that are fairly energetic, we'll call it. That's a positive way of putting it. Love to make a lot of noise. Love to be running around doing crazy things, even at night when they're meant to be asleep. They love it. And so I often look forward to those times when my family might be away until the moment it happens. And about 20 minutes in, I go, it's awfully quiet, isn't it? Now talking to myself. No, it's uncomfortable. It can be really uncomfortable when silence lingers for a long, long time. What is the longest time you've been silent or somebody's been silent towards you? We talk about the silent treatment. It hurts. What about 400 years of silence? Could you imagine not hearing? Now, he was speaking. They just didn't hear it. He wasn't speaking to them for a reason too, because he was going to break it. 400 years of silence. Could you imagine? It's hard for us. And yet I think we can relate. Because the first Christmas broke that silence. I find it strange sometimes the way that God chooses to work. I mean, the Bible tells us about this wise man or these wise men, magi, who read and who looked, people who were looking and who were listening and trying to follow these signs. And immediately I start to go, ooh, they're looking at stars. Should that be in the Bible? But it's how God chose to work at this time, wasn't it? And they would look for these signs. They looked at a star and they'd watch and they'd wait and they'd see what it was trying to tell them and they'd read of what it is that the promises of people had said, the promises God had said through his people. And then they followed this star because this light they found, it must have pointed towards something. To find a king, it seems a bit strange, doesn't it? I think what is even stranger than following that star is where this journey ends. And yet again, when we know how our God works, it's not all that strange. Because this star promised a king, and yet the journey didn't end at a palace, did it? Not a palace fit for a king, but a home for a peasant. And it wasn't a king standing before them, it was a boy. And yet they gathered themselves, because behind those doors they knew there was a new king, the Messiah, the Christ. This is the one all have been waiting for. He is here. A new king who could command the stars, who brought this whole world into being. But he chose to come and to dwell amongst us. A king that spoke and the word became flesh. This was the way he chose to break his silence. We don't like silence though, do we? It's hard when we think God is distant and silent, isn't it? And most people think God to be distant and silent, far, far, far away. It's not like when I jumped in my car this morning and drove here. I got in, hey God, and he was there. And yet I know he's with me. But there's times in my life where it does seem like he's very, very quiet. He's far, far, far away. And I go back to those places where I feel forgotten, maybe forsaken, because where is this God? Many people would see God as distant, which is why Christmas is so wonderful. Because at Christmas, he isn't distant. He isn't silent, is he? And we read later on in the scriptures in Hebrews that it means we don't have a high priest or a representative who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, because he came and became flesh. He was tempted in every way. He lived. He dwelt amongst us. He didn't grasp at equality with God, but he made himself nothing, becoming one of us. He came near, small and seemingly insignificant, but then he grew, didn't he? And then he was raised, firstly on a cross to be our Redeemer, and then into glory, so one day every knee might bow and we might follow him into glory too. The wise men must have known something that many others didn't, because what did they do when they arrived? They knelt and they bowed down. They had to, he said. Because 400 years of silence had been broken by the cries of the Son of God. God can sound incredibly silent at times. God can seem and maybe appear incredibly distant to us as well. But at Christmas he spoke. And he continues to speak through this Christmas message and all that Jesus said beyond. At Christmas he came near. So let's listen and look like wise men. Listen and look at this story. Because the life-bringing God has come to redeem his people. And when we witness this, I hope that we too can't help but bring all that we have and lay it at his feet. But this story isn't quite over yet. We need to hear more, and it's some shepherds that we'll meet next.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
It was a night like any other night, except for that angel. Ain't seen nothing like it before or since. Us shepherds, we don't get a lot of excitement out there in the pasture. But that angel, it was so bright, so beautiful. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Sam, you've been out in that pasture just a little bit too long. And you'd be correct. But that all changed when that angel came right up to us. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And I was like, "Too late." And then the angel said, no, I wrote it down. I need to get this right. Hold on. Okay. The angel said, that's my grocery list. Then the angel said, "I have good news of a great joy that shall be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the angel said, "He's lying in a manger, wrapped in cloth. Go find him." Okie dokie. So we're all sitting around, and then one of the shepherds, I think it was Steve, he's like, "Hey, what are we doing? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Bethlehem." So we hightailed it out of there, and we found that beautiful baby. I'll tell you, I was a different man after that. God chose me. Nobody's ever chosen me for anything. I'll never forget what that angel said, though. The angel said, "I bring good news to all people." That means you too.
They always seem to make the shepherds the funny ones, don't they? I mean, a shepherd's not bright? Because this one didn't seem to be all that bright. But really, put yourself in their position. It's a night like any other. Think of your regular sort of night, except there's an angel. That ain't a night like any other, is it? And shepherds, it sounds, don't get a lot of excitement. I think you could probably say they're like modern-day accountants. And so for that reason, when an angel rocks up, bright and beautiful, sounding like the opposite to the shepherds, not so bright or so beautiful, it would have been amazing. And I just have to say, thank God for Steve, by the sounds of it, because they've just been given this incredible news, okie dokie, and then they just sat there by the sounds of it. What are we doing? Let's go after him. The Saviour of the world is here. But we might need a Steve too. Because when we listen to this story, it's incredible news, isn't it? Hopefully we will look and go after him this Christmas. Maybe it's for the first time for you actually looking at this baby in a different sort of way. Maybe you're doing it again for the 90th time even. But when we do, we know we don't just find a baby, do we? But we find the miracle baby, the one who brings life where there was none. The one who redeems and the one who chooses. And who does he choose? Those who were, who are nothing. And Paul quotes this later. Nothing in the eyes of the world. The not so bright and certainly not beautiful, which gives us all hope. Like the shepherd who realized in that moment when he had found Jesus, God had also chosen him. God chose this one, who may never have been chosen by anybody else, and it might be the same for you. The shepherd very well would have forgotten his grocery list that night, but he remembered, and I hope we remember, the most important thing of all, and he will never forget what it is that that angel said. "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And that is most certainly good news for all people. And yes, that means you too. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom his favour rests. What a joy it is that at Christmas we get to look and listen to this story again and again. And then we get to praise him with all of our lives. I'm going to thank God by praying, thanking him for this story. Mention care cards as we always do. And then we're going to stand and we are going to praise this wonderful, wonderful God for this story that he has given us. Let me pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, that he came as that babe, but when he came as that babe, he was and is the Redeemer. Father, thank you that Jesus is the one who came to take away the sins of the world, that you have not forgotten us, that you have not forsaken us, that you have not remained silent, and that you are not distant, but instead you came and you dealt with that problem of sin and death that means that we can have a relationship with you. Father, help us to remember that at Christmas as we look and listen to this story, and might we be a people who glorify your name just knowing how great you are. And may many this Christmas look and listen at this story afresh and see the wonders, the miracle baby, the Redeemer. We thank you and we praise you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.